Let's talk about a couple of the reasons to be positive going forward, to think that maybe if they can just get over this hump at some point and actually like sweep somebody, or, you know, actually have like a winning streak that they don't immediately give back after it's over, and talk about some of that. So for you, what are some of those, you know, positives that you're kind of clinging on to right now?
Well, we can definitely both agree. See McClain finally up here when should have probably happened at least a month earlier, but I'm not going to worry about the past, is what is. He's here now and he's looked brilliant. Biggest standout with him right away is effortless with the confidence. I mean, he's not second guessing anything when he's on that mound. And so contrary from what I feel like is the majority of this Mets rotation right now, where they're kind of getting lost in their thoughts. Senga's being a little too meticulous, right? Minaya dealing more so, I think, just with the health of the loose body in his elbow has not been great for him as he's still trying to ramp up and get back into form. Even there, Clay Holmes, just the fact that he's stretched as a starter for the first time. So sometimes walks can really be a problem as he's trying to lock in there second, third time in the order. McClain's confidence, I think, is brilliant. And then the obvious spin rate, I mean, he's a darling in that regard. I'll let you expand on him in a second, but him paired with Vientos have been easy big takeaways. I mean, especially in the same week that Alvarez goes down and very well could be done for the year, and probably is done for the year as being as productive as he was. And that really sucks because we all know how good Alvarez was looking with that 1,000 OPS and 300 average for north of a month. But Vientos is finally finding it, and it couldn't come at a more important time. And I'm really happy to see that. It's long overdue. And I think he's finally getting that confidence that was wavering for a while leading up to the deadline, because there was endless rumors. He could say he wasn't paying attention, but he obviously knows. And I'm sure that weighed on him a bit. And I hope that this is a confidence boost for him, knowing that the team decided not to trade him as he was brought up in active talks in various areas, because they do still have a level of faith and interest that he can be that guy that we saw last year.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about vibes a couple minutes ago. Like, Mark Vientos is a vibes player. Like,
Swaggy B.
He needs the confidence, and we saw that last year, and he took it and ran with it. And this year, just like, honestly, since like opening day, it just wasn't there. He got off to a really bad start. You saw him take it into the field in that first series or second series against the Marlins, where he made a bunch of errors and was kind of like holding his head down, and it was just like not looking good from the get-go. And
yeah,
I think he finally has gotten confidence for the first time over this last like week or two. He had four home runs this week. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous.
And they were like all big bombs too. They weren't just little ones just getting out. Like, it was impressive.
Yeah. And, you know, to put that into context, you know, he's hit four home runs this past week in a 5 or 6 game stretch. He hit 3 home runs in his previous 55 games. So like,
that's like, crazy.
There was no power going on there. That was the biggest shocker of it all to me, I think, was, you know, I think if you were like, hey, he's going to have like a sophomore slump after what he did last year, I kind of was expecting that, but I figured it'd be like, all right, he's hitting like 230, 240, but he's still popping a bunch of home runs. It's just like less, you know, less productive than he was last year. What I didn't expect was that, you know, we were going to go into August and he was sitting at single digit home runs. I think that power sap is the biggest surprise. So to see him coming through like he has in the last week, you know, he even hit a grand slam that same day that the trade rumors came out about him. So like, you know, he got a home run robbed that game too. So it kind of seems like slowly from that point, it kind of flipped something in him. Maybe he just needs that extra motivation of like, I'm going to lose my job or they're going to ship me out of town. Cause when he came on last year, you know, he only had a small opportunity because Beatty was the third baseman at that point. And maybe he used that to his advantage. So to see him do what he's doing, I think is huge for the team. And, you know, unfortunately, they still have like a losing record in the last 10, 14 days at this point. But I think he's been a big key, and he's going to be a big key going forward, because that had been a huge hole for them for a long time. And, you know, credit to Beatty, who I've been pretty hard on for a long time. He's also swinging the bat very, very well right now. So if the two of those guys can kind of supplement what you're losing at the catching position and what, you know, maybe you're not getting in certain, some of the outfield spots, especially with Nimmo being a little bit banged up right now, I think that can be huge. And then with McClain, you know, I think that is the reason I've gotten sucked back in a little bit more than I normally would have. I was kind of emotionally out a few weeks ago. I was still watching every game and paying attention, but just like, I'm not going to let them hurt me anymore. I'm just going to be like more of an observer now. And since he came up and looked as good as he did in that first game, and then again on Friday against the Braves, it's really the first time since 2015, I think, that I've gotten like genuinely excited every time he's watching on the mound. It makes me think of those old SNY graphic that's like, Matt Harvey's next start is tomorrow. Like, Matt Harvey's right. next start's Wednesday. It kind of does feel like, you know, McClain Day is going to be a thing at this point.
I was just going to say, yeah, something along those lines has to happen.
Yeah, I think that is very exciting, and that feels different because they have not developed a lot of pitchers in the last decade. They haven't developed a ton of homegrown players who have popped off in recent years either. I think that's been very exciting. Like you said, he clearly very confident. I mean, the behind the back play in his like third major league inning, I think shows you everything you need to know there. And you know, sometimes people go nuts about the spin rate, but like you can actually see it in his pitches, like how snappy and filthy they are. And I think a great example of that was on Friday where Michael Harris, I think he talked about it after the game. He said the threat of the breaking stuff was so insane with McClain that he had a check swing on like an up and away changeup that was not even near the zone because like
that's
he
awesome.
Didn't know it was coming, and he struck out on that pitch. And I think that's been really cool. And I think building off of that is, if we're gonna see Tong and Sproat potentially in these next couple of weeks, I think that just adds on to that excitement and like. Maybe that is the energy this team needs. I think, again, they had 500 weeks, so it's not like everything's fixed, but there has been like a little bit of an upping of the game in the pitching staff since McClain showed up. And this is something I'm slowly working on for our newsletter, maybe later in the week. But, I think it's the other half of the Steve Cohen effect and the money that we don't pay attention to so much. I think the gaudy part is like, Juan Soto and bringing back Alonso and bringing back Benaiah, and that stuff is important for sure, and that's like very exciting. But I think, wouldn't it be ironic if this whole year that was predicated on all these big superstars and big contracts, but what actually saves them is the money that they put into their player development and scouting
right
from these three guys? And I think that is very interesting, and that is like, if there's one thing to hang on to with hope, I think it might be those guys.
And it's a big deal for this organization too, because think about it. When Cohen first became owner, there was not an analytics department. That didn't exist. No. They completely built this from the ground up and hired a lot of people. Assuming he's still in the organization, I'm curious as to like what's going on with a guy like Ben Zosmer right now, because I know that he was initially in the heart of it when that first started for them. And then the transition into finally landing David Stearns, and Stearns having his first draft and having his guy Chris Gross there for amateur scouting, bringing in Andy Green there from the Cubs for player development. It's done wonders that we've seen, especially on the pitching end. And Hefner staying in the organization, Eric Jaegers, everyone involved there, they noticed, especially with McClain fast, how uber athletic he is, because this was a guy that, again, not far removed at all from being a position player, like a year and a half removed, as a matter of fact. And
so they call him Cowboy Ohtani.
Exactly. Shout out to Mr. DeMeo for that one. but the crazy thing about it is that you look at what he's done so far in such a short period of time, but you say to yourself, okay, you understand why he made that effortless backhand play there and his debut, because he has the shades of DeGrom, especially as a guy that, again, was a full, well-rounded athlete for a good stretch of time. And McClain feels like that guy, and a guy that, again, any kind of sport that he was going to play, a position he was going to excel in, especially the way that he's developed so well now in house. And they view him as, again, their spin rate darling, as I mentioned, because that's all in direct hand with what they saw to a degree at OSU, but what they knew they could really work on, because he doesn't have just like a three pitch mix. He has like a true five plus pitch arsenal that can go to toe with anyone in baseball right now. And that's great. You're saying, okay, yeah, more of that, please. And then you pair that with what Brandon Sproat has done. And yes, I know Sproat hasn't been perfect by any stretch, but there's still endless potential there with the velocity alone, him utilizing that sinker more, and, obviously doing his best to get more swing to miss. But Jonah Tan is just this man that literally could be the reason as to why the Mets not only maybe make playoffs more comfortably, but there's a world where the Mets could have two of their three playoff starters in a wild card be guys that were nowhere close to actually starting the year with the team, that being McClain and Tom. Because Tom's stuff is stupid. Like, you've seen it. I've seen it. More strikeouts than anyone else in the minor leagues. Touching 98 on the gun now, like, fairly consistently, whereas he started the year, he wasn't like that. He's only getting better. Mm-hmm. And the confidence is just electric. Very different personality than McClain kind of gives off, but very comfortable, confident, like a guy that's going to go up there and say, "Hi, my name's Jonah Tana. I'm going to strike you out." And then he, with a smile on his face, is going to strike you out. And then you're like, "Oh shit, that just happened." Okay, so if that is what leads the Mets to success and potentially the promised land, that would be a greater story than anything else for what the Mets have done in house with their development.
Thanks for listening to this free preview of the Just Mets podcast. If you liked what you heard and want access to full weekly episodes and additional bonus content, you can become a supporter of Just Mets on patreon.com/justmets or on justmets.net.